When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
One, two, three. Merry Christmas, you filthy animal.
Hello and welcome to episode... Who cares? It's Christmas. It's New Year. It's the Filmmakers Podcast.
Woo! Merry Christmas. Woo!
This is a podcast where we talk
filmmaking,
from indie film to studio films and
high-end TV and everything
in between.
How to get them made, how to make them, and how to try not to
royally F it up.
In a humble opinion.
This is the Filmmakers Podcast. Happy Christmas and soon to be Happy New Year, everyone. How is everyone? You all right?
Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Bouncing along?
Yeah. How are you, Charles?
Yeah, I'm all right.
Pre-Christmas festivities.
Yeah.
The listeners can't tell this, but Giles is dressed like an elf.
Yeah,
I am.
And it's impressive. It's a look that suits you.
Thank you.
He's in the elf's attic. Usually it's the cultist attic, but this time of year it's the elf attic.
Zoom has got a little filter that Stephen has introduced me to, and he's got Christmas lights. I have a little pizza on my head because why not? This is our Christmas quiz, a very special end of year special, talking about filmmaking. We're going to do a little bit of chat about some questions about the year, what's happened in filmmaking, what we think is going to happen next year. And also, we will be doing our top podcasts of the year, the ones that you've listened to the most. We'll be doing a top 10 at the end of this show. So whatever you think it is, it might not be that one. Is it Christopher McQuarrie? Is it Business of Film? Is it Simon Pegg? Who knows? It's exciting. I do, though. But it is exciting. I've just worked it out. I've literally just worked it out. And we're doing our quiz, which is the most important thing because Phil's not here. And it means that I could also retain the crown because I jointly won it last year.
A pizza crown.
But it also means that Dom could win it for the first time.
Very unlikely.
Very, very unlikely. So let's run down who we have joining you wonderful listeners on this epic Boxing Day released podcast. Yeah, everyone, we released this, which meant I was on Christmas Day uploading this. So yeah, thank me at some point in your life.
Thank you, Giles.
Maybe buy me a little pizza that I can stick on my head.
I'll stick it on your head.
For now,
for free.
I'm introducing you to Dom Lemoir. You've heard his voice already. He's a director and as a producer. He's directed Winter Ridge and two other features before he was 30. The Winter Ridge had a theatrical release, and he followed that up by producing I Love My Mum, soundtrack to 16, When the Screaming Starts, and the soon-to-be-released The Unreason, which has changed its name.
Which we can't reveal yet.
Which I don't think we can say what it is yet. Mm. It is Dom Lemoir. How are you, Dom?
I'm very good. Can you read out my screen name as well on Zoom?
Yes, Dom has a screen name and no one else has. So because of that, we'll read out Dom's name. It is Rudolph,
like Rudolph.
No, I got it. Just It looks like Rudolph.
I think it's pronounced Rudolph though.
I don't get it. I got it, but I didn't like it.
No.
Maybe I don't like you, Stephen. Tobias enjoyed it. That's the main thing. And Andrew's cat enjoyed it. So yes.
This is Picard. Captain Picard.
Yes,
it is Captain Picard. And speaking of Andrew Roger, he is here as well.
Is he?
Yes, as well as his cat. He is a cinematographer, and he's known for the films Confession, Plebs, Borderline, With Me, World of Darkness, and Arthur and Merlin Knights of Camelot, and The Dare. And also 3 Day Millionaire, which is on Netflix right now. You can go watch it. Please do go support. And also his latest feature film, which is all about...
Some merch being flashed there in the background.
It's all about a plane crashing into the sea and sharks attacking it. It is called...
It's called No Way Up.
and it's super exciting. The trailer looks amazing. Stars Colmini, and it looks cool. So that is coming out for you January, February. Do we know?
Yep.
Great.
Well, it's, as of today, it says, although it keeps shifting around, but today it says January 20th, but who knows? Soon. Early next year. Trailer's out. Yeah.
Great. Trailer is out.
Yes.
January, February, right? We'll try and put a link in the show notes.
Should be in the cinema. Should be in the cinema.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Also joining us is Tobias Vies. He's made the film In the Dark, and he's made various films over his time and Brand Media. He's a fantastic guy. He's been editing and producing the Filmmakers Podcast all of 22, and he has done some in 23. He's been very busy, but we're going to bring him back. It is Tobias Vies, everyone. Hello, mate.
Hello. Nice to be back.
Yes.
Yes.
Nice to have you back. I've missed your voice. I was listening through to some of the adverts that we did.
oh, boy.
And then you did silly voices and characters yes. for those, and I really enjoyed our time doing those. So
true. There was those were really fun. Yeah.
Also joining us today for the first time on the podcast, it is Sophie Roger, who is a screenwriter, and she's also a fabulous person, also married to Andy Roger. Hello, Sophie.
Hello, everyone.
Hello. Welcome to the Filmmakers Podcast.
Thank you. I'm very excited to be here after being a listener through the wall with a cup.
Is that how you listen to the podcast?
You know it's streamed as well, right? Like, that's pretty mean of him.
You could go on iTunes.
I use polystyrene.
Yeah, no, I'm just there with my glass cup against the wall or the door if I'm lucky.
God, you're a true fan, aren't you?
Really? Yeah, it's basically. And does Andy listen on his own in a room?
Yeah, I wait there in the room when I'm listening.
You have to listen outside.
It's my time. Yeah.
It's his and Picard's time. It's, you know, boy time.
Yes. Picard's the cat, by the way.
That's the little dude here.
We're delighted to have you. Thank you. Also, joining us is Stephen Follows. He has not only smashed through our business of film podcasts all this year as a fantastic host, quizmaster, data researcher, and knowledgeable person extraordinaire. He is also a writer in his own right. he has taught at major film schools. He's made over 100 shorts, 2 feature films. He's the host of the podcast Show Me the Money and authored by AI. And he's also a Guinness World Record holder adjudicator. It is Stephen Follows. Welcome, Stephen, to the first ever Christmas quiz for you.
I am very excited, mostly to ask questions, because I have massively enjoyed torturing you guys this year with questions that are completely impossible to guess. But I've always been impressed with how much you guys just go for it. So I'm here for the questions, not the answers.
That is good to know, because if you don't win this quiz, I think we should all just quit, because I imagine you will win this.
My knowledge is useless, or at least it's bizarre trivia.
You run a full website.
I know, but like I don't know. I have lots of blind spots right in the center. So I hope there'll be nothing on popular culture, popular movies, popular song.
There is.
You know, and as long as that's not the case, as long as it's really obscure things like what's the shortest title of a film to have won an Oscar?
That's a good question. But Stephen, everyone's now rewriting our questions so that you don't win. So basically, for our lovely audience at home, how this works. Oh, by the way, I'm Giles Alderson. By the way, hello.
Kind of all you need to know about me, because most of my credits were read out when we read out Andy's credits. The only thing I do want you to know is that my feature documentary, All Town, Aren't We, which I produced, Jack Spring directed, is screening in cinemas on January the 5th in Parkway Cinemas up in Cleethorpes. Anywhere near there, come support. Link to that's in the show notes.
Hey, Giles.
Hey.
Enough about me. So how this quiz works is 2 questions from each of our hosts.
2?
Did you not read the email?
Not really, no.
So basically how it works, each host asks 2 questions. We'll answer them quietly. We write them down on a piece of paper. And at the end of this hour and a half long podcast, we will reveal the answers and then reveal the winner. Does that sound fun and exciting, everyone?
Woo!
Hell yes!
Yeah! Yeah! Christmas spirit is in the house. I'm really looking forward to relaxing this year. So, first of all, we're going to name our film of the year. We're just going to go around, discuss what we think is our film of the year. It doesn't have, you know, there's still a few films to come out yet. There's still a few films we might not have seen. So we're allowed to change our minds. That's totally fine. Mm. We're allowed to throw in runners and riders. But first of all, Dom Lenoir, I know you're very opinionated on this. So, in a good way, what is your film of the year?
It's a tough one.
This isn't a quiz, by the way. This isn't part of it.
Don't get it wrong.
Right, I'm going to go for a joint top.
That sounds like a good night out.
Yeah. So it's probably going to be One Life and Memory. One Life is just a great, like, it's a higher budget. It's, you know, it's kind of like a sister film to Schindler's List. It's a bit more charming, but it's also, it doesn't shy away from the heaviness, but it's also got a sort of a lighter side as well. It's just a really well-made sort of high-end drama.
Starring Anthony Hopkins, by the way, which will be out.
He's just brilliant in anything.
It'll be out very soon, but also
start the January.
We have a podcast with the director.
Mm.
Which Dom did, which will be out next year. So this film is probably going to get nominated for Oscars. And
it should do.
The director's on our podcast next year. How amazing is that?
Yeah.
So yes, that's your first one.
And then Memory, which is... It's got Jessica Chastain and Skarsgård, but not the one you think. Peter Sarsgaard. And it's actually... I don't know what the budget was, but it feels like it's got big actors, but it's actually a smaller indie. And it's just brilliant drama, like very understated, really well done.
Excellent.
Those
good.
Are my takes.
Thank you. Stephen, what about yourself?
Tom's given very classy answers. I'm going Barbie.
You're going
every which way.
I was going to say you're going Barbie.
Every which way. It's great. I also haven't seen many movies this year. So like there is a smaller pool to draw from. However, I'm not uncertain in just how much fun Barbie was. And also it's always nice when there is a fantastic film that breaks some of the sort of preconceptions we have around like what's going to make a good movie or a bad movie. And it's very easy to have rolled our eyes beforehand and think of the Barbie movie. Oh, that's not going to be anything. And then actually genuinely great piece of art with really good creatives doing top work along the. And I think not only do I like the movie, I like that it reminds me not to be quite so cynical when something comes out and I'm like, oh, I know what that's going to be like. You know, maybe Transformers 9 is brilliant. I mean, maybe. Let's find out.
Let's find out. I mean, we're going to.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not going to be. But yeah. You know, it's just great also where you see someone making really great, brave, creative choices with all the money from the studios. And it's rare and it's not, you know, it's just really nice. And so she's such a great filmmaker. It was a joy to sort of sit and watch her vision for a bit. It's just
joyous.
Yeah, joyous.
Absolutely.
Totally there.
Right. Toby?
I really liked the Barbenheimer event. I love both films. I watched them both on the same weekend, together with the new Mission Impossible as well. So it was an amazing weekend. However, apart from those three that I really enjoyed was, I'd say, I don't know if it came out this year or if it was last year, Puss in Boots, the second one. Have you seen it?
It came out this year.
Good. Really, really good. Yeah. You didn't like it? Did you watch it?
No, it's great. It's amazing. Yeah, no, you're totally right. It did come out this year. Really good film.
Yeah, it's hilarious. It's really, really fun. Yeah. Watched it already a couple of times and it's a good movie to watch with friends and
Very nice, very nice. Sophie, what was yours?
One or two movies are we going for?
One, we're supposed to do one, but they've all done two, so crack on.
My first one, I think, would be Scrapper, which
Scrapper
I watched
good.
On the train, plane even. Just because it was a really interesting take, and I've never seen anything of this director's before, and as a writer as well, it was really heartfelt, emotional, but in such a short space of time, like it was done really, really well. The second one I'm going to go for, even though I know we're only allowed one, but was The Stranger Way of Life. Pedro Almodóvar. Again, I think it was just really nicely done, concisely done. You know, all the beats are hit really quickly, but also really like hard. So those are my two.
Can I suggest that? So the director of Scrapper is a woman called Charlotte Regan,
who is amazing,
just an amazing talent. And we've been lucky enough to produce some stuff of hers before. And she made a short film called Standby, which I first saw at TIFF, which is set in it's a locked off camera in a police car. And so if you Google Charlotte Regan Standby, I'm sure it's available on Vimeo and stuff. It's a masterclass in short filmmaking. I can't recommend it highly enough.
Oh, sweet. No, I'll look at that.
Yeah, definitely. I am going to go with, there's so many this year, actually. Oppenheimer's in there. And there's so many people who've been on the podcast that I've really, really, really enjoyed. Desperation Road was one of them. Yeah. Foe, I really liked. Weird and wonderful. Dumb Money was hilarious and fun. Other films I loved, Femme, amazing. Once was really good. Alice Troughton's The Lesson. Mm. Bolan Shoes, fabulous film that. A Kind of Kidnapping. Mm. Greatest Days, Catching Dust. What else did I like? The Boogeyman, it's really cool. And After Sun.
Okay.
However, I'm going to go for Love Without Walls. It's kind of the same thing as Sophie's, is going for a movie that's an indie film as well. That's, you know, Scrapper was amazing. And it's getting out something that is so hard to make, because Oppenheimer had millions and millions. Barbie had millions and millions. And something like Love Without Walls, which is made by Jane Goel, it's, it just for me stood out, and it's beautiful and heartfelt. And I love that. And that's what this podcast for me is about, is championing those as well. So that for me. Yeah, it's really good. Andy?
The Creator.
Oh, God, I haven't seen it yet. I can't wait.
Great.
I mean, if you love sci-fi, it's brilliant. Incredible production design, great photography, great performances. Gemma Chang, like, underused, but incredible in it. Yeah, definitely worth a watch. Good fun. And obviously, like, for not a huge amount of money, a massive scope of production, like really beautiful, wild. And the other one was, I just saw an aeroplane, was Inside, Willem Dafoe. I think that was this year. Double checks.
Yeah, it was.
It was, Sophie.
It was last week.
There we go.
Last week? It was last week.
Was it last week?
Andy.
Oh, no. Yeah. No, we went on holiday last week.
Yeah. Hence the plane. Right.
So, oh, when you saw it last week.
It was released for your holiday, obviously.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Thanks, baby.
Got you. I like that. Keep that up. I like that.
Yeah, we're here for that.
Totally here.
Absolutely
for that.
Decimated. Yeah. Anyway, so that was good. It's like it's Willem Dafoe stuck in a, like, breaks into a flat to steal a painting, and then he's like trapped in there. It's really tense and really, he sort of slowly goes mad. It's really cool. Worth a watch.
I love it.
Yeah.
He's good at that, Willem.
Yeah, thank you. Good. So, okay. So that was some of our films of the year, what we like. There's been so many, though. The list could go on. Let us know what yours are on Twitter, on X, at FilmmakersPod. Do. It's really important. We'll probably be doing a little poll as well on our Instagram if I can, if I've got time. But let's get to the important things. Let's get to the quiz. First of all, I believe, and from what I did earlier when I drew this, I didn't draw it. I wrote it down. But if you know what I mean, I drew it out of a hat. The first person for our quiz question, he'll already be behind because he's asking the first one. It is Dom Lenoir. Please ask your first question for us, please. Write this down, pen and paper ready.
Okay. What was the highest budget film of 2023?
You sound very enthusiastic when you said that.
highest Word document. Budget film.
Budgeted film in the world.
Yeah.
Are we doing countdown rules where if we don't write it down and when we reveal the answers, if we haven't got it written down, we don't get the points? Because if we don't do that, I'm just going to be like, yeah, I had that.
No, you have to write down. You can show it.
Okay, fine.
If we cheat, then we're idiots. But yeah. we should
winning
write
idiot.
It down. We are winning idiots. But we have but we have to, yeah, if we get challenged on this, we have to show the piece of paper.
All right.
And your pen can't be anywhere near you. Yeah, that's the deal. Okay, so that was Dom's first question. The highest budgeted film of 2023. Yeah. Good. We've all got the answer? Good. Second question, please, Dom. This is a bit of a fun one. First one was more filmic. This should be more fun. Let's see what Dom's come up with.
It's not really fun.
What, from you?
Say it in a fun voice, then. Add an accent. Come on, bring the fun.
It's Christmas, Dom. What's wrong with you?
I didn't think of anything fun. That's the
not
that's
a punny. Nothing punny.
Dom the Halls. Come on.
Dom the Halls with Rudomdolf.
Yeah. Oh, all right. Okay. Highest IMDb rated comedy 2023. There we go.
That's so unfun.
Yeah. Well, that's what you get.
Highest rated IMDb comedy. IMDb comedy. Yeah. Okay, we can't look this up.
Highest IMDb rated comedy 2023.
Okay.
Can I vote now and just sort of tip it over?
No.
I'm going to go vote Oppenheimer.
You're not allowed to go on there. So therefore, the next person is going to be Sophie.
Okay. Question number one. Yeah. How much did Barbie make?
To the dollar. Domestically or worldwide?
Yes. Worldwide.
Oh, wow.
Box office worldwide.
Mm. Oh. Oh my gosh. Stephen probably knows exactly
I really don't, and I might be off by hundreds of millions, because I haven't been looking at the World Web recently. So I really wouldn't.
Or millions.
Mind. Hundreds of millions, yeah. Oh, yeah, okay.
Hundreds of billions.
It's more than a million, yeah, giving something away here.
More than 10 grand.
Okay, good. I think people are shouting at their podcast boxes or listening through the wall with their glass and piece of string at the Sophie's question. Please give us your second one. A bit more fun, if it is.
And second one is, how many Barbies are in the Barbie movie? Characters.
Good question.
Mm.
Oh, I love it.
Wow. Okay.
So do the maths. You can use your toes as well. This Barbie is. That Barbie is.
Oh, God. We're all guessing, right? Because we don't know the exact answer, question. Right? Andy, are you Googling this?
No, no. I'm writing my questions.
And oh, you're still trying to find
I'm still trying to Google to find out if there's actually an answer to my question.
I'm absolutely confident Sophie will grass him up if he is. And she's sitting right next to him. So I feel very safe in this.
Very loyal.
The guardian.
I feel so. Yeah. I'd love it if we're both just working together and going, I got the answers. They both had exactly the same answers.
Oh, no. Like, I am full on turning my laptop away.
All right. You want to win this.
He's very competitive.
I'm taking this game seriously.
We winning this. I.
Yeah.
There is no I. I was going to say there's no I in marriage, there is.
There isn't that one.
Yeah, there isn't that one. There's four. I have some love hearts, and I'm going to give... This is the prize, basically, to the winners later, but I'm going to open them now, right?
What?
Yeah.
He's already sent them to me, don't worry. I'll open them in a minute.
I'm going to open them because you have to guess what the first saying is on the love heart.
Wait, hold on. Your question...
It has to be multiple choice. No,
your first question is what is written in front of me?
Nope, this is nothing to do with the quiz. I just thought this would be fun.
It is fun, Giles. It's so much fun.
Thank you.
I know. It's going to be mine or something like that.
It's close. I'm looking at it. It's not.
Will you be mine?
It's not what you expect. Sometimes they throw weird ones at you.
Be better.
It's be better. No,
it's just get better.
Be a better filmmaker.
Work on yourself.
It is.
That is a really missed opportunity.
Therapeutic love hearts. Yeah.
That would be great, wouldn't it?
Learn to love yourself.
Self love hearts.
Exactly.
I'm going to open them all and see if there is, because this is the winner. The winner gets these, right? So. And we'll send
You're opening the present. You're opening the prize.
Yeah. How many... All right. This isn't a quiz, but it thought it'd be fun. How many... apart the actual quiz, right? How many actually have anything to do with love on them? There is seven.
There is seven.
Like the word love or like just generally?
Just generally. The idea. The idea of love.
I'm saying one.
Seven.
Two. Three.
Four.
One.
Two.
Out of seven.
Huh. One point. Hooray.
Yeah. But the answer was... good vibes. That's ridiculous. Anyway, I'm eating that now. Okay, so
the prize has got smaller.
You're eating our prize.
Oh,
you're very confident of winning this, aren't you, Giles?
Really good point. Okay, so our first topic today will be, what do we feel has changed in the industry this last year? What are our industry issues? Would you change if you could? What do we feel about this year? It's been an interesting year with the SAG strike, the writer's strike. It's obviously put a big dent in everything we've been trying to do as filmmakers, as creatives, but it also...
More like a meteor crater.
Yes, it's like a meteor crater rather than a dent. Depends how you want to categorize it. What do we feel? Toby, let's start with you in terms of what do you feel's happened.
I was scared. Because of all the developments with the strike and with the AI and stuff. And now I came to terms with it. And I hope that it will remain a tool because it's quite useful in terms of when you use it as a research tool, when you use it to help things going. But I'm curious to see where it's all going, where it's all heading to.
Yeah, I think AI is massively, and we've talked about this quite a bit on the podcast, about how that is affecting us. And how we can use it as a tool. But the writer's strike, the SAG strike, did kind of put a stop of things. It did affect. Andy, what's your feeling on that in terms of, you know, being a cinematographer in this world of work and what's happening? Did things just grind to a halt for you as well?
Yeah, I mean, I could talk about how I think it's affected all of us differently, but I had a few projects this year, some films lined up. It's been busy since after the pandemic, sort of after everything woke up again. And this is the year where everything sort of slowed down my end. I've done a lot more TV this year than I would otherwise. I did a kids show for BBC last few months, and was great and a new experience, but not something I do much of. Otherwise it's been quite a quiet year. So I'm hoping that now things have opened up again and things are partially resolved, we can make some more stuff next year. What I'd love to do. Yeah.
I too am hoping for this to him.
Has he been around the house too much?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
just a bit.
I mean, are we alive still?
Yeah. Say what you like. I can always cut it out.
You probably shouldn't, because it's really funny.
Yeah, exactly.
Magic of editing.
Yes. And what about yourself in terms of you and your screenwriting and everything that was moving forward for you? Did you feel it was harder to knock down doors and get people to pay attention to you?
I think the general feel at the moment is that people are hanging on kind of what they know already. So it's slight hesitancy on anyone breaking in a bit more than where they are already.
Yeah.
But it's definitely been interesting to hear, you know, the other writers, and during the writer's strike, lots of people were doing like more podcasts. So they were contributing what they knew, which was great when you're learning. Fingers crossed, it will be better for writers going forward.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think the steps forward by the writer's strike have been massive for writers. You know, it's really, it's great. I think producers, especially indie filmmaking producers, are going to struggle a bit with the writers and the SAG strike, just because the indie filmmaking world can't often afford to pay those exact figures, which is a shame, because we'd love to, but sometimes you can't, and therefore you're already going, and agents and stuff going, well, no, that's not fair.
Agree.
We want these budget levels. This is what we want. Mm. And as much as we'd love to pay them, indie filmmaking, and what's happening, we've seen, is they just go, well, we can't make it anymore. Physically, we're going to struggle to make these films, so therefore, let's look at what we can make, which means there's less stuff getting made. Stephen, what's your thoughts on all this?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think this year was really about like film, because we've been having an identity crisis of what is film, you know, and you look at like all the streamers, and you had Scorsese making things that are far too long to be movies, but doesn't matter on streaming. And we've had, I don't think the battle's over. I don't think we just, you know, figured anything out. But up until this year, it's been like the streamers, especially during the pandemic, streamers were winning, or at least they had the success story. They were on the up, and or they were making all the content, and cinemas couldn't open because of the pandemic, and it's taken time for the cinemas to get back. But this year, I think we've just crossed £1 billion at the UK box office this year, which we haven't done for 3 or 4 years. We've had Barbie and Oppenheimer, the Taylor Swift Eras Tour, which was from when it was announced to everyone, including the industry, to when it was in theaters, it was only about 30 or 40 days. It's incredibly, it's one of the highest grossing films of concert performance. I don't know if it's ever, but it's incredibly, I mean,
it was a swift rise.
Yay. And also the streamers have started to realize that they've overextended themselves financially. There's talks of mergers, there's crackdown on passwords, there's increase of pricing, there's going to be more adverts on streaming. Like it's a glib line to say the golden era of streaming's over, but certainly this was the year where theatrical had a bit of a reprise, and everyone was like, oh yeah, going to the cinema. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then the streaming all become less interesting because it's a bit more locked down. So one of the things about this year, I think, was just like, yeah, theatrical, which is kind of nice because it hasn't been like that for a while, I think.
Yes. And interestingly, you know, streaming costs are going to go up. And there will be some streamers that will stop being streamers. It's just going to happen. There's no question about it. They can't continue. There is a lot. I mean, maybe they will. But if we're all paying £20 instead of the 10 or whatever, which is going to happen.
With ads as well.
Yeah, people are going to stop paying for all of them. You know, like the moment you go, oh, well, it's probably $4.99. I'll pay for, you know, Apple, and I'll pay for Disney, and I'll pay for Netflix. And suddenly people are going to go, oh, well, I've watched most of that on that one, so I'll stop. So unless these streamers start producing even more content, which at the moment there isn't that much.
Which they're not going to do. They just can't afford to do that. And I think what we're seeing is a bit of that confidence the industry's got is being reflected in a few other places. So the Oscars and then more recently the BAFTAs have changed their rules about what is eligible. And so from 2025, because they have to sort of do it at least a year ahead, a film has to be exhibited publicly for the first time to a paying audience at least 50 screens for at least 7 days, I think, at the widest point. And so now we're starting to see, okay, we can be a bit more ballsy about what is a film and what is not a film. Not that something not a film is a problem, but it's content or it's a streaming thing. And so, yeah, it might be that the cultural impact and the industry impact is as big as the financial stuff.
Dom, what about...
I think just finishing off quickly on Stephen's point, I think there's a real quality issue with the streamers. And you know, for me, even paying the price, like, I find it so hard to actually find something really good to watch. I mean, take away all the award season stuff, which there are a lot of really, really good films. But I mean, that's probably like, you know, 10 for each streamer, like max. And then other than that, like just some of the quality of the series. And I think, well, what they're doing is they're just going for quantity. And actually, I'd just rather have a few good series that I can watch through and really enjoy. Mm. So that's kind of my thought on streamers in general is, you know, they're not doing enough quality and they're going too much quantity. On the agent side of things, I spoke to one of our past guests recently at an event and, you know, the feeling was just that basically agents is really difficult at the moment because a lot of actors that are worth in distribution terms a certain amount, mm-hmm. You know, now the agents are saying, well, okay, we've just had the strikes over, you know, this isn't a good enough offer. What would have usually been a very reasonable, you know, great offer for an indie film. And the agents are sort of, there's a sentiment of, well, we'll just hold out for a studio film or something much bigger. Mm-hmm. So suddenly you're priced out of being able to actually make a reasonable offer or getting the actor to read your script. And, you know, it's, you know, the guy I was speaking to is, you know, there's a whole group of different directors. Some of them are really high up and they're all having the same problem that they just can't get even high level indies made because, you know, unless you have multi-million pound deals, mm-hmm. Actors are just hard to get at the moment. So, you know, the strike's ending isn't the sort of roses and gold sunshine that everyone thinks it is. It's actually a real kick in the something.
Yeah. Yeah. It's how do we survive it? You're right, Dom. It's a real tough place for indie filmmakers right now. Anyone trying to create something, it's how do we survive it? Because it's, you know, we could have an amazing script, an amazing idea, amazing thing that we want to make, but if it can't get made, it doesn't matter, does it? It's, you know, and there was that whole hope of the tax credit in the UK going to 40%. It really was a big push, and then come the day, the Chancellor of Exchequer just didn't even, right, just slightly mentioned it and said, well, we know the arts would like this. Wicked, great, but we didn't get it. And that's another dent for us. So I'm worried about
another
the future.
Meteor.
Another meteor hitting us. I am worried about the future of indie filmmaking. It's been a tough year. For me especially, it's been really tough. It's like, how do we get stuff? How do we make money as a producer? How do you survive in this industry as a producer, as a director? It's really, really tough. There's no... As an independent producer, there is no platform for you. Even if your film does really, really well, you're not really seeing that for 3 years, any money from that for 3 years. So how do you survive? How do you as an independent producer survive? And the government are not
you
helping.
You put on your Christmas jumper and you become a Christmas elf.
Basically, that's the way. So yes, it's tough. It's really tough for us. So yeah, it's a downer for you all. But at the same time, I think we just need to be prepared for what's going to happen in 2024 and how... Can we approach it?
That's all true, but I can give you a nihilistic view that will make you more optimistic.
Please.
Which is that it's never been good for independent filmmakers.
Wonderful. Like, that, if you, I don't know if that helps.
The last it's always been years, horrible. It has always been absolutely terrible. And now it's easier to get into the industry, but there's so but the volumes of people that come in is not the same magnitude as the volume of opportunities. And so it's never been a good time. So everything you've ever seen where people have worked and they have gone ahead and done things, it's because They've been creative and entrepreneurial and done things despite the fact that making no sense. So I wouldn't say that the future looks rosy. I'd say it looks no worse than it has before. And also that's what filmmakers do. They adapt. You know, independent filmmakers, we adapt, we create, we do something unusual. Unfortunately, you still need to be independently wealthy or have another stream of income, but that has always been the case. And a small number won't break it through to a proper career. Mm. But the rest of us will be working and making it work because it's something we really believe in. And so I don't think we shouldn't be necessarily happy about it, but I definitely don't think it's getting worse. But that might be because we were already starting quite low down. Does that make you feel any better or not?
No,
I can't tell, Joyce.
No, it doesn't.
Oh, no. It was worth a try, wasn't it? It's true.
This is like the worst Christmas movie ever.
That's interesting. Do you think... there's any opportunities? Do you think this disruption this year is going to give any sort of positive things?
No.
Okay.
For people coming into the industry new, or for people who are perhaps aren't independently wealthy and need to pay their bills.
Independently wealthy. Sure. Okay. Yes, I agree. Stephen?
I'll give you another vote for optimism for 2024.
I don't know if your last one was.
I don't think it was.
Honestly, it's never really been much better. That's a good optimistic view. Okay, so how about this? I also believe this. So, as more and more people use AI to generate stuff, the more that we're going to have stuff that shoots for the middle. And if you were making content 10, 20 years ago, well, you were trying to shoot for the middle. You were trying, Marvel movies were by definition trying to be different, but in the same space. And so what we wanted was more of the same. We're all getting very tired of that, not just Marvel, but just now with all these things like Midjourney that can create these beautiful images, but they all look kind of the same. We're getting bored of that. So what we want is authentic experiences. We want creative, unusual things. And AI is not at the position to do that just yet. So arguably the independent artist, the person that does something different, has a different perspective, that isn't the average of all the things that's been fed into the prompt machine, will feel fresh and different and will be able to rise above the way horror tends to allow you to do that. When you have a fresh new take on a horror film, it can go off. Maybe we're going to start to see that in drama. Maybe we're going to start to see that in comedy and other areas to a greater degree. So if you have a quirky, unusual voice that AI would not be able to generate, maybe we're going to be in a better environment because people are sick of the middle.
There we go. Yay. Aim for the middle, everyone.
No. Let the AI aim for the middle. We're going to aim for the outliers. Okay. We're going to be an outlier. That's your t-shirt for the podcast. So if you want to sell merch, be an outlier.
Be an outlier.
Just be better.
Just be better. Yep. Aim for the middle and
get good.
Yeah. Get better, basically.
Average.
Yes, yes. Be average. I think that's true. And
don't
actually
stand out.
And speaking to some investors about next year as well, there's still an appetite. I think where it's maybe frightening for independent producers, and maybe where I think about that, is the returns. Because I think people are still willing to take a chance, because if you, especially investors, are putting in more than one film, they have a much bigger chance of getting returns. And I think there are investors out there at the moment that are willing to do that. It's just you've got to find them. But I do think those people with money, film is still an attractive prospect. Indie film is still attractive because you only need a Boiling Point, or which also was a fantastic film, came out this year. Was it this year or was it the year before now?
Have they already brought out a TV show?
Yeah, I know.
Boiling Point was last year.
Phil Barantini works fast. And Bart Rispoli and the team behind there. I don't know. I feel there is optimism. I feel there is chance for us. Definitely people are interested in projects. It's just how we manage the returns and streaming and how we bring that back to a company. That's the issue. So it doesn't mean it can't happen. It's just we can't. How do we be the next A24 working title in the UK? And there is no UK film industry per se. And I know we're going to come onto that in a future Business of Film episode, so I won't go too much into it here. Toby, your opinion on where we go. How do we survive it, in your opinion? How are you surviving it?
Who says I am surviving?
Have you quit? Because, we all kind of want to.
Yeah, no. No, I think it's important to have a second career, really. Mm. In order to pay the bills and still a second career that allows you to have enough time to do creative stuff on the side. So something not all consuming. I'm personally editing a lot. I'm shooting a lot of corporate videos on the side and I'm teaching. And that gives me enough space in the week to work 2 or 3 days creatively on my own projects to develop them further. And it's, yeah, also important to have friends, who you can work with, who just, hold you accountable. Just have friends. It's good for mental health. And, which is also important.
No, you're right. It's really not. And that's what.
Yeah. Don't be, all dreamy about. The whole the dream you have about filmmaking.
Be horribly pragmatic and depressed.
Yeah. Yes.
Well,
yes.
I don't think pragmatism and depression are, I mean, they're correlated. I don't think they're...
yes, no, I agree. I think
Making a joke here. Yeah.
But I think it's important that we say, look, it's not doom and gloom. It's just sometimes
just be realistic.
Gloom. Yeah. Just be realistic about
it. It's not all doom and gloom. Toby's right, be realistic. Yeah. Sophie, how have you found this year diving into, you know, screenwriting full time?
It's definitely been an interesting one. I've had to catch up what I consider a lot of ground coming from doing it on the side with my other full-time job to now.
Yeah. You were an author as well before that, you know, as well. So
yeah, I was. And that's been another interesting journey, being a novelist versus being a screenwriter. There are similarities, but like... screenwriting, I've learned, is definitely more about collaboration. Mm. Novel writing, not so much, but screenwriting is making those connections with people who you can work with, the money to have it made, which is, you know, sort of earlier in the conversation, and funding and stuff. But yeah, no, it's been a really interesting journey and hearing people's experiences. So yeah, I'm looking, it's scary, but you know, I mean, I've come from an industry that's also had a lot of crap. Can I say crap?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. It's had a lot of crap. Yeah. Well, a lot of shit its direction. And that didn't put me off. So I wouldn't use the phrasing, you know, how are you surviving in this? I would personally say, how are you thriving and making the best of the situation you're currently in?
Reprogram it.
How you thrive.
Reprogram it. You know, it's shit. It's going to get better. Mm-hmm. You know, that kind of, not just optimism, but looking for little beams of light.
I love.
When you're locked in your box.
In your box.
Outside.
Box of despair.
Yes, and I love your optimism there, and it's so true. We've been in this industry so long, and sometimes we can get jaded, and apologies, and you're so right, that fresh sort of like, do you know what? No, we are, it's how you're thriving. How do you push that forward? And it's so true. I do try and bang on about it all the time. So yeah, I love that. That was I needed that. Thank you.
Can I just jump on the end as well? Like,
always jump on my end.
Yeah, like I'll always jump on your end, John. 100%, Sophie, completely agree. I mean, how can I put it? Like, I mean, yes, sure. If you're starting out, by all means, have a job that pays your bills, because it's very hard to get started and, you know, make. But equally, like those of us that have been doing it, I mean, I've been doing this 21 years. Like, I'm good at this. It's a skill I've put my life into learning. I've put a lot of personal relationships and money and time and missed birthdays and things like into being good at
anniversaries.
This. Anniversaries.
Who's counting?
Who is counting?
Sure, no. Like Sophie's right.
There's no I in anniversaries.
So, I always am.
So I should be able to make a living from this. We all should be able to make a living from this. If it wasn't for us workers making the shows, like making the films, there wouldn't be any. You know, and maybe in the long future, AI will do everything. Who knows? But right now, you need someone to make a film, and we should be paid properly for it. And it should be, let's do what we can to structure the industry to do that, to pay our bills.
Yep, I agree. Yeah, whatever we can to make this industry in the UK, especially because that's where we all work, apart from Toby, is to actually... make that an industry. There is an industry in Austria already. No. There is one. Well, they've got a great industry. We don't follow that rule. We don't have a conveyor belt of supporting indie filmmakers up. Austria's the best place. Well, I was obviously over there filming that feature that we haven't announced yet, so I can't tell you what it is, but you can see it on IMDb if you want.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly. Brake kits, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
So let's pull it back to our quiz. So quiz question number three of this amazing podcast.
Quiz person number three.
It is, yes, thank you, Dom, for that correction.
It's actually quiz question number
six. All right, boring. It's Stephen Follows. Please bring in your question and stop this.
I have two questions. I have a Ponzi.
Become the annoying ones.
I have a Ponzi question and I have a more fun question. So yes, Ponzi question.
Yes, please.
What film won the British Independent Film Award for Best British Film, Best Director, and Best Screenplay this year?
The Biffers, did you say?
Yeah, the Biffers. The Biffers. The British Independent Film Awards. The same film won Best British Film, Best Director, and Best Screenplay. And I'll give you a clue, it depends how much you're up on these things, whether it actually helps as a clue. It's interesting it won Best Screenplay.
Yes, it is.
That's a clue that only works if you know the answer. Therefore, not a clue, just something being smug. But anyway, so that's the... but then, here is a fun question,
which
I had to do some maths for. But don't worry, you don't have to.
Good.
So here's some fun maths. So I went and had a look at the highest grossing films in the UK this year so far.
Yes.
And I looked at how many of them were based on existing IP. Ooh. Existing IP. What percentage of the top 50 grossing films this year were based on existing IP, intellectual property, something that already existed. So we've already discussed Barbie. Barbie is already existing on intellectual property, but we discussed Oppenheimer, and that's not, because that's just based on truth, right? So what percentage of the top 50 grossing films of this year in the UK theatrically were based on existing IP?
So if you get it closest, you get the point.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Because, okay. Yeah, so we'll do it as a percentage, and whoever gets the closest.
Wow, that's really interesting. Because if you think...
You don't know the answer yet. It might not be.
No, but I tried to come up with a question that was fun that would just allow you to...
Yeah, to think and have a... Yeah, because there's a lot of existing IP films out this year. There was a lot.
And also, IP could be books, it could be...
And yeah, it's also top grossing, so you've got to think about what those films were as well, because it's not just films that IP, because not all of them did well, though most of them did. Gosh. Oh, gosh. Oh, I think it's higher than I think it is. You don't think it's lower than they think it is? Just
I think it's lower than you think it is.
Oh.
Great. So that's Stephen's two questions. Next is me. I came Who's out that? Next of the hat. That is me, Giles Alderson.
Oh, okay.
So the first question for you is, what was the first feature-length animated movie ever released?
Okay.
Can you say it again just so I got all the bits? No, because is it feature length? Actually,
Start
from the beginning. Who are you?
I am Giles. I'm supposed to be running this podcast, but I'm eating love hearts. What was the first, and it's Christmas, what was the first feature length animated movie ever released? Is it based on existing IP?
Are you?
Who knows?
Well, I do. I've got the answer in front of me. Cool. Have we all written that down? Got an answer?
Yep.
Great, good. All right, second question. There's been quite a few questions on Barbie, but I had it already written, so I'm not going to change
this guy.
What is Barbie's full name?
No.
Toby's really upset already. It's a tough one, that. I want the points, basically, so that you don't get them. It's a tough question.
Name and surname, right? Dad.
There is a middle name.
Completely forget. Oh, middle name.
Got it.
How is anyone going to
Let me tell you, for the humdrum, that wasn't a fun question. Yes. There was like zero fun
good
in that.
Good point, Dom. Very good.
No points for Dom. No. That was fun.
No.
For those listening, let me know if that was a fun
Your
question.
Jumper is making most things fun, Giles. I'll be honest.
Thank you. You're making most things fun.
You know what? Have a point.
You can't give away points, Stephen. It's not your job.
Your own point. If you lose by one, you're going to regret saying that.
I think we can.
If anyone guesses the next love heart, you will get a point. No, I'm
going to change my question to what number is Giles thinking?
Seven.
Oh, oh my God, you're impossible. At least everyone knows you're not cheating because you just, it's impossible to deduce it to let you win.
Impossible, it's true, it's true. Right, let's go on to the next topic. So topic number two is, what can we do differently in 24? What can we do positively to make a change for the independent sector? And this one's for our listeners, obviously. So
become independently wealthy.
Yes.
I'm gonna gonna marry Rich. Yeah, I think that will help.
Rich, who's Rich? Rich, what's his surname? I might get a.
I'm in love. He's not very well off, but I love him.
I thought that was the whole point. What can we do to make a difference? Do we feel, Sophie?
I'm planning to attach myself to a producer's ankles until they make what I want.
I love that. Yeah.
Do you often attach yourself to Andrew's ankles in general?
I want to say that I did say to get what I want, movie made wise. So no, I'm not.
I mean, I wasn't going in that direction, but I need
to go further up the chain where the money is.
At least you know your place, Andy.
I was fully expecting to be burnt to the ground. It's good. I'm here for it.
It's Christmas.
Just blink if you need help.
Yeah. Three blink. Do the little code. Yeah, do the finger code.
I think my advice.
Getting serious, please.
Yeah, my advice is take more general meetings and be a bit more persistent. I've got a friend in America who also was on the podcast who just constantly emails everyone and now is just getting, you know, meetings with all the big studios. And it is just, I mean, the workflow, like the amount of emails that they're sending is just huge to, you know, the big companies all the time, big agents, big managers, and not giving up when they get rejections or ghosted or whatever. I think in England, we're quite bad at that. It's like, oh, they haven't replied, you know, but I think that's a really useful technique.
Yeah, I love that.
Shout out to Sonia for your great work ethic.
Yes. Do you want to give surnames?
Sonia O'Hara.
I think it's really good advice. I think there's a fine line, isn't there, between too pushy and too annoying. But at the same time, if you don't put yourself out there, why would anyone know about you? No one's coming to your door. No one's knocking saying, hey, I need another script. I need another producer. I need another director. There's enough of us and they've already got people who they already trust, like, and want to work with. It's so hard to spend time reading a script, looking through someone's work, finding a director. It's just time consuming and you might not connect. That's why people always work with the same people. So how do you get in there? How do you do it? And Sonia's right, as Dom said, is you've got to put yourself in front of people. Networking is one of the most important things in this business.
And I think it's a numbers game as well. I mean, it's not a numbers game, but it's often some of the good relationships you build, they can take like 5 years. And a lot of the time people won't work with you for the first 4 years. and that's, you know, so if you think about that, you know, you need to work backwards and just be starting those things well in advance and on a much bigger scale than you think you do.
It was something that Sam Boyd said on his podcast when we talk about Genie and Love Life. He had gone to so many meetings when he was trying to get stuff made as a screenwriter. No one knew who he was. And then it was 5 years later when Working Title then came back around because he'd made Love Life and things had moved. But he'd already met them 5 years ago. So they already liked him. They really loved Love Life, his series. And suddenly it was a real perspective that he could be directing Genie. And then it happened because he pitched well enough. Yeah. Toby?
Yeah, I agree on what has just been said.
Good. I'm glad. Welcome. Thanks for coming.
That's a relief.
That's a love heart, though, isn't it? Yeah. I agree with what's just been said.
Toby disagrees.
I disagree. You're all wrong. I think one thing the year 2023 has shown was that filmmakers can unite and are willing to work together. And there are so many opportunities out there to and festivals to go to and meet people and also funding bodies and opportunities and retreats to go to. I mean, most of them are quite costly, so you still need to get wealthy at some point. But
that's advice.
Yeah.
Marry rich.
Yeah, very yeah. rich. Yeah. But I do think, yeah, it's
poor a guy. No one tell me that earlier.
Yeah, I know. Poor guy. He's marrying yeah. everyone.
Was it Andy you asked? Because I see why he didn't tell you.
He changed his name.
Yeah.
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 So I think if you meet the right people, if you make friends, and working with friends is something different, then you can push even further than to what you think it's possible. That way you can create something hopefully unique and interesting and cheap enough that you can afford it.
Yeah. Well, me and you have been writing a script in the last sort of 3 months, haven't we? We've got to a really strong stage.
6 months.
And that's 6 months. And it's been it's been fantastic. And I just prefer like writing with people. I think it's easier for me in my head. And Sophie, you write on your own, but you mentioned earlier about collaborating. Is that something you're going to look to do next year?
No, I don't like people.
Yep, good.
Sorry. No. I'm always amazed at how people co-write, if I'm honest.
Really?
From a novel point of view, you work with your editor, and if the editor thinks something's not going to sell or they're confused, then, you know, they sort of give you edits and then you sort of work on it, or you sort of say, well, actually, I think this or my character will do whatever.
Yeah.
People who co-write, it always just, because it's split vision. How does that work? Well, maybe
no, I
it's
think
on it, one of your earlier podcasts. Yeah. I should have put my glass.
Not quite
to.
As novel an idea, eh?
Yeah. Yeah, there we go. Put a glass to one of those episodes. No, wait, shut up, Giles.
I was thinking it.
Yeah, I know. I couldn't get anything out that made any sense. I'm far too tired. But no, I prefer it because when I get stuck on a scene or something, the other person just then goes, oh, no worries, I'll write that. And then it's done.
You have a tummy rub, you know, et cetera.
Yeah, et cetera, et cetera. But otherwise, I get, and that's why I always struggled writing on my own. I have done it many times, but I sit and bang my head and go, why can't I get through something with someone else? The other person's just written it, and then you rewrite it, and you just suddenly you've got a script finished way sooner. For me, I know not everyone's like that, but that's how it works for me. Cool. Andy, positives for moving forward for next year?
Yes.
Yes.
I don't know. I guess I'm more optimistic than most of you miserable bastards. That's interesting, because I've been thinking of reaching out as well. Maybe it's true every year, but I just feel like this year, I've got No Way Up coming up, which we shot a while ago now, but it's a bigger movie. It's a bigger budget movie than I've done. It's nice bigger in scope. Yeah. It's got an airplane crash and sharks and stuff.
Right.
Very technical. And I learned a lot on that film, and I'm sort of hoping that next year I can push into bigger stuff. Like, for me, that's always the thing. I feel like the industry is always gobbling up the smaller and smaller budgets and that's getting harder to make. And I've been trying to swim and go higher and higher and higher with a silver
pardon
lining.
The pun.
I've been trying to swim, but there's been no way up, and there's been
there's been sharks.
There's
been a plane crash.
So, oh god, this is like the most.
He's just pitching the movie. Yeah.
And Colm's always been there.
Yeah,
and
he was in the deep end. Yeah, he was in
the calm before the storm.
Yeah.
It was Dom Lenoir. He was saying.
Yeah.
And that's something I might actually try next year. There's some DPs and people, you know, who are shooting the things that I would love to be doing in a few years. And I'm going to reach out and say, hey, what were your steps? How did you get there? I think it's always helpful to get some advice from people that are a few steps ahead.
Absolutely right. It's how me and you met, Andy, wasn't it? We went to a networking event, and that's how we met, and it's created this relationship. So you're absolutely right to go to more events, because that's how you can meet producers and stuff.
Can I give a shout out to somebody?
Yeah, go for it.
Shout out to someone. Is it Anna? That I met at a network event.
Is it Rich?
I don't know if he's rich, but he may probably listen to this podcast.
Go for Phil. It. This is a good time to do it. Yeah.
So I networked at a WGGB event.
Mm-hmm. Writers Guild
Which
of Great
is
Britain.
The writers, yeah. And I'm a lovely man who's now become semi-mentor for the last couple of months.
Yes.
Phil O'Shea. He is really, really helpful. Hello. I can ask him anything. He runs script writing courses and stuff. So Phil, O'SHEA.
07, and then I'm going to tell him that I said that.
It's become that, hasn't it? Is he any relation to Ricochet?
I have no idea, but I will ask him.
He's not.
But he's become my go-to if I just email and go, what about this?
I like that. That's great. Thanks, Soph. Stephen, to wrap this up on your thoughts on all this.
Yeah, I mean, I think I had an interesting experience the last couple of months with a friend in the industry who I kind of think that it's really reminded me why we go into the industry and so further in answer to the sort of what we should do in 2024. So I have to be a bit cagey because it's one of those things where the deals are not done and all that sort of stuff, but I can give you enough information. So ever since the pandemic on Tuesday nights, I've been watching movies with friends over Zoom. And we've been doing this, it's been called the Pandemic Screening Room, the PSR. And we watch all sorts of different movies, some great movies, terrible movies. This week, just gone, we watched Gladiator, which is a stunningly good movie. Mm. And previously, we've watched some very bad movies. Anyway, one particular type of film has come up again and again. And I'm going to be vague about what the type is so that I don't give anything away for this filmmaker friend. But he's picked a lot of the movies and he's picked a particular type of movie a lot. And we've really enjoyed watching them. And he really enjoyed watching these movies. Now, he had an experience a few months ago where he bumped into a producer through somebody and they started talking. And it turns out they're trying to make this kind of movie. He knew a lot about them. He impressed them with his knowledge. They said, have you got any ideas? He went, yep. He went back with his co-writer, came back with some ideas. They went great. And now it looks like he's going to write a big movie. Because of the love of these movies that we were watching for no reason other than to watch the movies and to hang out with each other. And it's become quite a nice social thing. And it sort of reminded me, almost sort of surprised me, like, oh yeah, we like movies, don't we? Oh yeah, we have tastes. And if you actually spend time in your taste of movies that you like and you actually watch them, you do build up a knowledge and an understanding and you're the right person to make them. And then when the right opportunity comes along, they can't believe someone like him exists as far as, oh my God, he's a talented filmmaker who also understands this particular subgenre really well. And he can't believe that he'll get paid to do something he loves. And it all came from just wanting to watch it. And so I'd tack on to Dom's very good advice about get out there more and meet more people would be spend more time in the things you actually really love, get good at them, get to know them and remember that you love them because that will make you better at them. So that's what I'm taking into 2024.
Love it. It's so true. It can be positive for you, this industry. There is so many people out there trying to make stuff and it's just latch onto them, speak to them and see. It might not be now, it might be in 5 years' time. But at the same time, if you don't put yourself out there, they don't know about you, how are you ever going to move forward? So that's what's important is do send those emails, do try and get to networking events, do try and say hello. I know it's difficult, but sometimes you can just go up to people. You know, there's been a load of events leading up to Christmas and I felt awkward sometimes. And I'll just go, oh, do you know what? I'm just going to go up to this group and go, hello. And sometimes it's just, you've just got to do it and take whatever flack might come your way or hopefully none. Because most indie filmmakers are fantastic and they'll just go, hey, how are you? And that's how you grow. Right, nearing the end. Final quiz questions. Coming from Toby first. He was out of the hat, not last. Right. Toby, fifth and... Well, no, this will be 10th and 11th quiz question. Please, Toby.
So, Oppenheimer obviously was a big hit this year.
Yep.
Cillian Murphy was in the lead.
Was
he? My question is, how many times have Cillian Murphy and Christopher Nolan worked together?
That's a great question.
Okay.
I like that one.
That's a great question.
Mm.
Any question where you think you can work it out, but you actually have to like...
Really think.
Yeah.
I think I know. I think I know what I've got. There's a couple of secret ones in there as well, isn't there? Maybe? Who knows?
I've just added one to my number. I've just crossed my number out and added one.
It worked.
If that's a game you're playing, Giles, my God, you deserve all the points. That's amazing.
I just want one point. Toby, go on.
The fun question. How many times does Jack Black sing the word peaches in the Golden Globe nominated song Peaches from the movie Super Mario Brothers?
Is it 2, 3?
Well, that's
No, it's a higher number. Has
you can't. Seen you've
film?
Given a clue already. Stephen coaxed you into a clue. I like it.
Now I know exactly the right number. You fell into my trap.
Okay.
Right. I've guessed, and I'm really, really happy with my guess. Next is, and finally for our quiz, is Andy Roger. Give us your.
I'm glad I'm last. It's giving me time. Give me enough build-up
to go to some
question.
Networking events and find some friends and cinematographers.
Make dinner.
No, and stop me if this question's already been asked.
Oh, God, is it? Go on.
Right, okay. In the 2023 movie Oppenheimer...
yes?
How many Oppenheimers are there?
That's a good question. You mean in age? Like, how many times
well,
do you see
Well, how many
him?
Oppenheimers are there? I mean, yeah, yes.
I haven't seen the movie.
I actually think that's...
It's not called Oppenheimers. Is that the sequel?
Or do you mean...
That's the James Cameron
Yeah, you must sequel. Mean how many age brackets.
Or how many family members in the film are called Oppenheimer, because...
Well, no, let's go with, like, you know, obviously it's about Oppenheimer. Let's go with how many main age. Character Oppenheimers there
so
are.
So how many
yeah.
age... Yes. differences...
Yes, yes, yes.
...of... Okay. of
Thank you for making it not fun, Giles. Yeah.
No, no, I made it.
An actual question.
Actual question that makes sense. Okay, good. How many oppies? Okay. Gosh. Hey, I think I've got one. Yeah. Oh, I've got more than one. But anyway.
I'm going to cross out one. I mean, to be fair to me, I mean, I haven't seen it, but the title suggests there is just one. And I'd feel cheated if there were any more than that.
Stephen, can you just write one, please?
Okay.
Just
one. Yeah, yeah.
A couple secret ones in there.
Okay, so Andy, your second question, please.
It's a question which I've just made up. In the year of Lord 2023,
yep.
which film made the most at the box office in the first weekend? Oppenheimer or Barbie?
Okay.
That's a great question.
Yeah.
Because I have a 50-50 chance of getting it right.
So hang on. How are we going to do this? Because does that mean everyone who gets it right gets a point? Yeah, of course. Our quizzes work, Charles. You idiot.
Okay. I didn't wonder what you were confused by there.
It's been a long year, Stephen. Right, finally then. What does my last love heart say? Which leaves four for the winner, by the way. This one is purple.
Why don't you give us, like... one word, and it's whoever's quickest to get it.
Yeah, okay, my...
love?
Heart. No.
My God.
My friend?
It's coming friend. Into view. Who's going to see it first?
My opic.
Downfall.
My angel.
My angel.
Stephen gets this one that's in my mouth.
And apparently there was a point for that one, so you said it earlier on.
I did, but I lied.
So I've got 1 point.
Nope.
Can I quit now while I'm...
yeah. So, this is the bit you've all been waiting for when we announce the top... Before we do our final winner of the quiz, this is the bit you've all been waiting for when we announce the top 10 podcast episodes of the year. In reverse order, obviously. Ooh. Now, I was busy today, so I had to quickly add these up. So, drum roll, please, Andy, with a drum, please.
Every year, and I'm like, ah, and I
Every
forget.
Year you don't
prepare. Stand by.
He's now building a drum out of...
He is building a drum kit.
I like that, though.
Oh, no, here we go.
Gives me
got two sticks.
To...
There's no drum, though.
Wait, hold on. You spent all that time just finding two drumsticks.
I had to whittle
and then
these
realized
out
there was no drum. You did not plan this, did you?
God.
Okay, stand by, everyone.
Okay, oh, we're standing by. Here we this go. Really Here's good. The moment we've all Ready? Been
Contain
waiting
yourselves.
Okay, for. Hit
the drum roll.
There it is. Okay.
Hey.
In 10th position is Business of Film 5, our episode earlier this year with Stephen Follow. Actually, that was out literally 5 episodes ago. Mm. It's a brilliant one. Do go listen to that. In 9th place is... Thank you. Christy McCosco-Krieger, the producer of The Fablemans.
Hey.
Yeah, very good. And she's literally just produced Maestro as well, which is on Netflix right now.
Okay. I remember that.
Yeah. In 8th place, Business of Film 3.
Hey.
Oh my God.
Congratulations.
I'm getting so many points in this quiz.
In 7th place is... Eddie Sternberg's excellent chat to talk to us about his movie, I Used to Be Famous. Okay, in 6th place is Tar, It is a lovely chat with director Todd Field. And in fifth place, final five now. It's getting louder, that drum. It is Charlotte Wells talking about her amazing movie, After Sun.
Bloody hell.
Yes, in fourth place. It's the first time Stephen was on this podcast. Business of Film, the first episode. There you go.
In third... I wasn't in that one.
That's why Cobby so high. In third place is...
Can I just say this drumming is getting better and better? I'm totally here for it.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, it was worth the wait. I'm here for it.
I've got a new drum halfway through. See, it's really changed the game. Really up things.
This is in third place. Our episode, which is a masterclass on making Oscar-winning short films with Chris Overton. In third place, Chris Overton making short films.
Dom, when you're not on an episode, do you listen to it a lot? Because I think I can understand why these ones have risen to the top in viewership.
And in second place, or first. So...
Oh my God, Jos, you're not going to have a Christmas day. You're going to be editing like hell.
Turned into a slow hand clap. It is either Christopher McQuarrie or Simon Pegg, Rebecca Ferguson, and Eddie Hamilton. Talk about Mission Impossible Part 1. Who do we think it is at number one?
Pegg.
I think McQuarrie.
In second place is... was that a cowbell? In second place, not only was this person... not on their own. They were with Rebecca Ferguson. It is Simon Pegg in second place, which means our winner, Andy, is... It is Christopher McQuarrie. He smashed it this year. It was nearly double Simon Pegg and Rebecca Ferguson. Like huge, huge, huge numbers. Thank you, everyone who has listened this year. You've all been
finally
amazing.
Back on top.
And Tom was on that episode. So, yes.
Well done, Tom. I was on about six or seven of those.
Well done, Tom. Well done, you.
It's been a disappointing year for the last 2 years for anyone that actually cares, which probably is just me.
It is just you. But this is how it is. Listen, honestly, it does mean a lot that you all listen. It makes such a difference. And do tell your friends. Even if you are listening with a glass and a piece of string from the other room, it doesn't matter. You tell your friends about this podcast and then we can keep doing this and grow and, you know, the usual stuff.
And can I be the voice of the listener for a second and just say, you know who was on all 10 of those episodes? You, Jos. In front or behind, you are behind all of them. I know there's a whole team of people. I know they really help, but your work on it, you know, obviously this year and before that is just amazing. And I know that the audience really appreciate it. So thank you very much for all the work
you
do
on this podcast.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Hey, Giles. Drum roll.
Thank you.
Give yourself a point.
Whoa. I think you took my point far too far there.
Speaking of which, let's get to the quiz. Let's do it. So, give yourself a tick point. A tick point. It's kind of a point, but or a tick, whichever you like. Add it up how you like. First of all, it was Dom. Give us your question, and then we'll all say what we thought the answer was.
Okay. So, the 2023 highest budget film was Fast X.
Ray.
Wow. Who got a point? Who got that right?
Me. Just me?
Just Stephen.
Can we quit now, please? Can we stop, please?
I put Mission Impossible.
Yeah.
I thought Mission Impossible 2.
Yeah. Sophie?
Mission Impossible 2, that wasn't this year, I'm sure.
Very boring.
Oppenheimer. Andy?
I put Barbie.
You've lost your drum kit. Your second question, Dom?
Highest rated comedy.
Yes, and the answer was?
As far as I can tell, Poor Things, which counts as
a comedy.
Oh.
Yeah, well, it counts as comedy, and it does have a very high rating.
I thought it would be Barbie or something like that.
I thought Barbie 2.
Barbie 2 hasn't come out yet.
Barbie isn't... I don't think Barbie's 8.4.
Let's see if I can go for the third.
That's right.
I'll give you the setup another time.
We'll double act this. Yeah.
So moving on, at the minute, I think the only person who's actually got an answer is Stephen. So moving on, Sophie was next. Sophie, what's your question, please?
So my first one was, how much did Barbie make worldwide? And it is...
Yes.
$1.442 billion.
I had $1.3 billion.
I had 1.3.
I have 2.2.
1.5.
I thought it was way more than that.
So how are we doing the points then?
Andy, what did you put first?
I put 300 million, which is not even close.
Nowhere near.
So 1.4 billion.
About 1.4 what? Because me and Stephen are 1.3 and Toby's 1.5.
Oh, he's much closer then.
Right, okay, all right, okay. So we're going to round down or up for this?
Yes.
You're going to have to round down because it's 1.442.
Yeah, so 1.5 is closer than 1.3.
Yes, so Toby gets a point.
We don't get the point.
No, Toby does. All right, cool. Next question. So,
and then the next question was, how many Barbies are there in the movie?
Mm-hmm.
I went with 12, but
I went with 47.
18. 30. 21.
Well, 18, so I guess that's closer to 21, really.
To
12.
So I get point. Yes.
Yay.
Finally, my first point. Jesus. Stephen, you were next.
Yes. Question. So this was the film that won Best Independent Film and Director and Writer, and it was All of Us Strangers, which was about a screenwriter. So there we go.
Point.
And then my second question was, what percentage of the top 50 films in the UK box office this year were based on existing IP? What is your guess as a percentage? I want to hear.
84.
85.
70. 70.
85.
Giles?
70, me and Sophie said. Andy?
Up at 90.
Oh, Jesus. That's high.
Cynical, yeah. It is 72%.
I've got to say, Stephen.
Not that cynical.
Stephen, Stephen, that is so annoying. I wrote 73% and you said it's not as high as you think. So I changed to 64.
I like to mess with you, but I don't want to mess with your points.
I literally would have won that.
Oh, how about this? You don't get the point, but you get the moral kind of superiority that you should have won. Is that not worth more?
No.
Trust your instinct.
Yes. Thank you, Sophie. Next question was me, I believe, which is, what was the first feature-length animated movie ever released?
Snow White.
The answer is
Snow White. White.
The correct answer is Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
Okay.
I'll give you a
point. I don't like to leave.
Yes.
we don't want to use those
words. Okay, fine. Yeah, you can't anymore. So, but it was called that. So,
thanks,
point.
Sophie.
Who else got a point? Stephen?
Me.
I got
me.
Toby, Andy, thanks
for
playing.
You're not taking this game seriously.
I am very seriously. I'm, well.
Just losing. Okay, second question was, what is Barbie's full name?
Barbara.
Barbara Maleficent. I can't remember. It's something, Barbara Maleficent something.
Yes. Greisler for some reason.
No.
Because it's based on the creator, right?
It is.
Her daughter.
Barbara.
Yes, that's right.
Maleficent. Barbara. Roberts.
Oh, I didn't get that.
I'll give you half a point, Stephen.
Did write it
Millicent.
Down? Oh, I can't see it on the screen.
You can't see it because
why? What did he get half a point for?
For Millicent, because that's a tough one. Barbara Millicent Roberts.
I get half a point. Hold on, I should write that down properly.
Yeah, you should definitely write it down.
So I get a quarter because I got Barbara.
No. okay, next. Sorry, I'm
moving. Wow, shut down there.
Yeah. Did no one else get Barbara?
Barbara.
I got Barbara.
There you go. So no, I can't give half. I can't.
That would be ridiculous.
Now you can't get Barbara.
Well, Andy, you write Barbara? Because you've got no points so far. All right.
A sympathy point. Do you really want a sympathy point? Okay.
Yes, I do.
It's not half. It's quarter of a point if you wrote Barbara.
Yeah.
Winner.
Okay. Great. Next one was Toby. Question and answer, please.
How many times have Cillian Murphy and Christopher Nolan worked together?
Five.
And
four.
I put four.
Five.
I put three.
Six times.
Six.
I got five. Times. Yeah.
I got five.
He starred in all of the Batman movies. One, two, three.
Yeah.
Inception.
Yeah. And
Dunkirk. And Oppenheimer.
So who else wrote five? You wrote five.
I wrote four.
So did we both get a point?
I got five.
Yeah, I mean whoever is closest.
Yeah, we both got a point.
Yeah,
fine. All right, take a point. Yeah, no problem. Toby, your second question and your answer, please.
How many times does Jack Black sing Peaches in the Golden Globe nominated song Peaches from the Super Mario Brothers movie?
I got 25. I've never heard
46.
It.
I got 22.
I bet 63.
146.
Okay, no, the right answer is 38 times.
So 25 is close.
No, 27.
Oh, you said 27, did you? Oh, damn.
Yeah, then 27. Yeah.
All right, well done.
Yeah.
Well done. Look at this. Doms must be... before the last question, should we top up the points? Who's got what at the moment?
I got 2.5 so far.
2.5. I've got 3.
Ugh. I've got 3.25.
I'm the same. I got 3 and a quarter.
And a quarter. Yeah. Toby?
Okay. I got 2 and a quarter.
It's all to play for.
So it's all to play for.
A quarter.
Okay. Andy?
Hi.
You've got a quarter. Okay, good. So it is you. It is you to find out who is the winner of this quiz. Please give us your question and answer.
So okay. In the year of our Lord 2023, how many Oppenheimers were there in the movie Oppenheimer?
I've never seen it. Four.
Five. I said three. I said three versions of him.
Toby, what did you say?
Seven.
What's seven. The answer? I'm going with four.
Four.
Well, I've been Googling it. I can't find it. Well,
Jesus Christ.
How many times? You wait till right to the end.
Right now.
You wait till the reveal of the answer before owning up.
How many time periods is it set in? That's really the... You get your
no
answer.
No spoilers, please. Come on.
It says two, actually. If you look, how many timelines are in Oppenheimer?
No. How did you find that? I've been Googling it.
The timelines are just Googling.
There isn't two timelines. But it's another... There isn't two. Wait, because he's not...
Oppenheimer messes split the Tory into two timelines with two distinct points of view with the three-hour...
There's only one actor.
Yeah, but there are a lot of time jumps within those. Yeah.
No spoilers.
So you've got a really young one, a really old one in between. Mm. Yeah.
Surely.
So right. What are we saying then? Three?
Giles has said four and he's seen the movie. I haven't.
I don't know if he can trust me.
And you haven't. Stephen, you haven't.
No, I haven't seen it.
I have seen the movie.
Three of us.
I thought it was seven.
If you know the answer to this question, write in.
It's definitely not two. Right, which means we forget that. We forfeit that question because it's ridiculous. We don't know the answer, and Andy's ruined this quiz. So, we go for...
You may have over-indexed on this one, but sure.
And then the next question.
The next question, Andy, come please, on, Andy, to see who the winner is, because this might
ruin it. That's my husband,
it.
Everyone.
I do have the answer to this first one, you'll be pleased to hear. So, from the opening weekends of Oppenheimer and Barbie, who made the most money?
Barbie.
Yeah. Okay.
Right, so this doesn't work because...
I went with Barbie because it was the shorter of the two movies, so it's more likely to have more screenings, whereas Oppenheimer had...
I do have a tiebreaker question.
Which means the winners at the moment...
Do you know the answer? Hang on.
Wait, the winners at the moment are Dom and Sophie with 4.25. I've got 4, so I am now out of the running, which really winds me up that I gave you a fucking quarter of a point for Barbara. This is really hurting me, right?
Because you're going to have to buy more love hearts, aren't you?
I am going to... No, I'm just going to regurgitate them.
It'll cost you a fortune.
Throw them at them next time I see them. Anyway, so fair's fair. I did give it. So, please, Andy, you've got your now-to-be-deciding question.
Now, remember, live with one of the two people.
This feels like a fix.
This is just for Dom and Sophie. We might answer
if you don't
know
if it's in your favour yet or not.
So. Hang on, how about this? If they don't know the answer and I do, can I sweep in and win?
Can't change the rules.
No. Fuck's sake.
I think that sounds fair. Yeah?
I agree. No, okay. No. So, this is it. Come on, between the two of you to win the
So it's whoever's closest to the answer, right?
Yes.
Okay. Are we doing a time limit thing or are we
got... Well, we haven't got all day. I've got to edit this bastard.
All right.
11.
And Sophie wins. Yay. Thanks everyone for listening to the show.
Okay, Merry Christmas. No, go on. Okay. Come on.
Okay, so at the opening weekend, how much did Barbie gross?
We just said that.
No, worldwide we didn't. Across the year. He's asking opening weekend. Globally or world or domestic?
Andy, is it globally or worldwide?
Or UK?
Dom is desperate worldwide. To win this quiz, by the way. He's never won.
Yeah, I was
this means
say,
a lot to him. He normally comes last, so this is a big moment.
Oh, that's...
Well, he hasn't come last. You've definitely come at least second.
Usually I do. Okay, so are we doing domestic for UK or worldwide?
We're doing worldwide.
Worldwide. Okay. Here we go. Come on.
Okay.
So write it down real quick.
Okay.
Oh.
Yep.
Okay. And then add one to it in case the other one's got the same answer. Like add $1.
Okay. Or minus $1.
Oh, yeah. That's okay. Also true.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah.
So what is your answer, please, Sophie?
1.3.
Don't look at me. I'm an impartial judge.
1.3 what?
In the opening weekend. Okay.
Happy wife, happy life,
1.3
mate.
What? In the opening weekend, bear in mind, just to help you.
Yeah. 1.3, thank you. Million?
Okay.
Okay.
Dom?
I don't know anything about money.
140 million.
Dom, why didn't you go for 1.4 million? Just that, like, because you would have had all numbers between 1.3 and all the money.
I mean, what's the answer, Andy?
265 million.
Dom,
265.
Dom is a winner of the Christmas quiz,
Dom.
2023. Well done. Oh, that was
how does it feel, Dom, to be a winner?
It feels great. Yeah.
Is that all?
It feels pretty exciting.
Do you think it's linked to the fact that Phil's not here?
Yes.
Yeah, well, yeah, take that, Phil.
Well, if he was here, you might not have won. So
that's
you'll
my
never
point.
Know.
Yeah, yeah, I think Phil comes out with this better than you think.
Yes.
Well,
and Dom, the best point of the part of this is you also get these four love hearts that are left on my table.
That he's holding in his fingers, having them wrapped
up
from the
package. He's now touching
them. Very much.
Yeah.
Dom doesn't mind that I've touched them. He's fine with this. So to wrap this wonderful, wonderful year up, thank you.
Who was third out of curiosity? Well,
it was me, yeah. I technically.
I was second.
You were.
My first ever quiz here.
Yeah, we like that. So listen, thank you all so much for listening. It just leaves me to say thank you to my amazing hosts, Tobias Vies, everyone.
Yay!
Happy Austrian Christmas. You celebrate it on a different day to us, so good luck with that.
Thank you.
Stephen Follows. Yay!
Sarcastic.
Happy Christmas to you. Andy Roger. Rudom Flumflum himself.
The winner.
Yay! The winner of the quiz. And our special guest, Sophie Roger. Yay! He came second. Listen, thank you so much for listening. You can go out there and make your films in 2024. Be strong, be powerful, take our positives from this, not our negatives, and go out there and make your films. And if you have to listen to this podcast with a glass and a piece of string through the wall, then that is what you should do, because it's the most important thing in the world. Go out there and make your films. And if you're lucky enough to rise up and do well, it is your duty to
send the Santa sleigh back down.
Did you prepare that, Tom? Because it doesn't sound like you did.
You really thought about it and said it. To do another one.
Send the reindeer back down.
Yes, send the love heart.
Press all the buttons in the lift, all of the buttons.
Go down the chimney. Button. Send the chimney back down.
Yeah, slide down the escalator and just avoid the bumps. Yeah.
Exactly.
Do
Marry rich.
Be rich.
Rich again.
For your pleasure. We will see you all in 2024. We hope you've had an amazing Christmas and New Year. And look out for our podcast with Oppenheimer, the team behind Oppenheimer, with the team behind Bike Riders, with the team behind Boys in the Boat, with the team behind
One Life.
That is an amazing episode, that all of those people.
In one episode. Yeah. No, they're not. Spread out across January and February, probably. We have so many. And our Business of Film, which clearly dominated the charts this year. More of that to come. Until then, take care, everyone. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
I don't know why I'm waving. It's an audio podcast.
For us.
I'm going to leave now because I don't like it.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Okay. We stop recording now?
Merry Christmas.